today's a day like no other. Hello, and no matter what season of life you are in, there is hope. Welcome to our daily broadcast, Hope for Your Heart. At this time, I would like to introduce Senior Pastor Calvin Corbett from Hickory Ridge Community Church in Chesapeake, Virginia, who has an encouraging message just for you.
Hello, welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett. So thankful that you're tuning in today. Today is February the 3rd, and it's Monday, and I wanted to take just a moment to wish my mom a very happy birthday, and I know that she can't pick up the broadcast because it's too far from her. She lives up in Massachusetts, but she turns 79 today, so happy birthday to you, my dear mom. So glad that the Lord's blessed her with good health, and what a blessing she's been to my family. She and my dad had 7 children, and I am the firstborn son that they had. I had 2 older sisters, 2 younger sisters and 2 brothers that are younger than me, and so I am very blessed with a godly legacy. Well, today we're talking about the hope-filled life, and we're going through a series at our church, and on Monday's broadcast, what I try to do on Monday is I try to give you a recap of what happened in our church over the weekend so that you can kind of get a glimpse, and our goal is to kind of take what God is doing at Hickory Ridge Community Church and get it out into the greater Hampton Roads area. So we're talking about a new subject, and it's called the hope-filled life, and what I did is I went through the New Testament, and I found that that word hope is found 83 times. 83 times that word hope is used in the New International Version of the Bible. And then I took those 83 times and I find that they fit into 52 different categories. And then there's factors in those categories and I came up with 8 of them. So I'm putting together this series and it's going to be 8 parts to it. Today we talk about the divine factor of hope. The divine factor of hope makes us hope-filled because of the name of Jesus. Now, I loved a cute little story about Janet. Janet was a teenager, and she was actively involved in her youth group, and she and her family were involved in their church. She had a part-time job at a department store, and every day after school, she would work her part-time job. Well, one day she was asked to do the announcements for the cafeteria specials that were offered at this particular store. She finished her announcements with, "Thank you for shopping with us and have a nice day." And then without thinking, she added the phrase, "In Jesus' name, amen." You know, there is something very profound and special about the name of Jesus. Jesus himself said this in Matthew 12:21, in his name, referring to the name of himself, Jesus said, in his name, the nations will put their hope. When you think about the name of Jesus, Paul put it this way in Philippians chapter 2, and this is called the kenosis chapter. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul says, therefore, God has highly exalted him in the highest place, and God has given him a name that is above all of the other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and in earth and under the earth, and every tongue will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. In Romans 14, we learn that it is written, and as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess the Lord to the acknowledgement of God. You may think today that the name of Jesus is used more of a swear word than it is as a name that is above all other names. But I want you to know, even those who don't acknowledge the name of Jesus and the hope that we have in Christ, they still understand who he is. Let's say you're outside in the backyard and you're working on a project and you've got a hammer and you're trying to drive a nail into a board and you miss and you hit your thumb. I promise you, when you hit that thumb of yours, you didn't say, "Oh, Calvin." You didn't use your wife's name. You didn't use probably anybody else's name. You may have taken the name of the Lord in vain. Why do you do that? Because even when you don't recognize Jesus as Lord, you still use him as a curse word. We're told not to take the name of the Lord our God in vain, and we discover that the world so often does take the name of the Lord in vain. And so that is an indication that the name of the Lord is powerful, it is mighty, and it may not be on the front page of the newspaper, but his name is powerful. way back in 2014 during the Ukraine election, and I'm going back to 2004, not 2019 or 2019. Back in that election, we had a fight going on, and we had the press that was trying to control the outcome of that election. Philip Yancey, in his book, What Good Is God, illustrates this election, and he talks about the winner who of that election was Viktor Yushchenko. Unfortunately, the media did not report him as the winner. The evening news on that state-run television reported, "Ladies and gentlemen, we announce that the challenger, Viktor Yushchenko, has been decisively defeated." However, the government authorities forgot to take one thing into notice, and they had a young lady who was raised by a mom and dad who were both deaf and mute. And she was sign languaging the results of the election. And as she's sign languaging the results of the election, she could not bring herself to feed the line that Yushchenko had lost the election. So in sign language, this is what she said. "I'm addressing all the deaf citizens of Ukraine. Don't believe what they say. They are lying. And I'm ashamed to translate these lies. Yushchenko is our president." Now, nobody in the studio noticed or understood her radical sign language message. Inspired by that courageous translator, deaf people began to lead a revolt. It is called the Orange Revolution. And because of the Orange Revolution, there was another election that took place, and Yushchenko became the winner. And it's interesting that they called it the whole Orange Revolution because they had tried to poison Yushchenko, and they tried to give him Agent Orange, and so they called this the Orange Revolution, and God used this young lady who was interpreting deaf to bring about a revolution. The media thought they could bring about the wrong result, but God had a bigger plan in mind. You know, over and over again in Scripture, God's name is elevated. In His name, devils are powerless because of His name. Demons were cast out because of the name of Jesus. Healing occurred in His name. Salvation comes in His name. We're baptized in His name. We are justified in His name. Everything we do and say is done in His name. In John 13 and 14, it says, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You can ask anything in my name and I will do it." So there is power. There is hope in the name of Jesus. So I hope today that you know Christ as your Savior, and I hope today that you're putting hope in His name. Well, there's a second factor that we look at when we talk about the divine factor of hope, and that is the resurrection of Jesus. So we talked about the name of Jesus, and now we want to look at the resurrection of Jesus. In Luke chapter 24, we discover the disciples are very discouraged. They are living in defeat. They are hunkered down, hiding because Jesus has been crucified. They are looking for Him to rise again, but they see no evidence of that taking place. And the Bible says, "And furthermore, it was the third day after He had died." In other words, Jesus was in that tomb going on that third day, and the disciples are very discouraged because they had put their hope in Christ. They were told He was going to rise again, and so they are discouraged, and in their midst of discouragement, they forgot that there was somebody out there going to that tomb. The women were going to that tomb that early morning, and they were going to that tomb, and as they get to the tomb, they're pondering, "Well, I wonder how we're going to get that rock rolled out from the front of that tomb." And as they get there, they discover the rock has already been moved, and they see that the tomb is empty. They had confidence that Jesus rose again because the gardener comes to them, who was really Jesus, and asks them, "Well, who are you looking for?" And they said, "We're looking for Jesus. Do you know where He is?" And this gardener who was Jesus says, "Why are you looking for those who are alive among the dead? He's not here. He has risen." And I want you to know that we have so much hope realizing that Christ has risen today. You know, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they were called out part of the Sanhedrin, and they talked about the fact that they were a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and they were sharing the fact that they didn't believe, the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. resurrection. Some would say that's why they are sad, you see, because they didn't believe the resurrection took place. But Paul, as he's addressing them in Acts chapter 26, he says, I am a descendant of the Pharisees, and I stand before you on trial. And he says, why am I on trial? I am on trial because I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. J.I. Packard said it so well. And maybe you feel this way today. Hearts on earth say in the course of a joyful experience, I don't want this to ever end. But it inevitably does. You ever been there? You're having such a good time. Maybe you're at a celebration. Maybe you're at a wedding, and you're so excited about what is happening. Maybe it's Christmas morning, and you say, I wish this day would never end, but it inevitably does. The hearts in heaven say, I want this to go on forever, and it will. There can be no better news than this. The disciples were defeated that Jesus had died. A good thing had come to an end, and it had been 3 days, and they were discouraged. They were defeated. But I want you to know that Jesus rose again. And Jesus himself said this in John chapter 14. He says, because I live, you will live also. This everlasting life is based upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself says, I am the resurrection and I am the life. He who believes in me will never die. He shall live. So the divine factor is that we put our hope, our confidence in the name of Jesus. We put our hope and our confidence in the resurrection of Jesus. By the way, I want you to know, everybody is going to experience the resurrection. One day you're going to die. Your body, the shell of who you are, is going to go back into the ground, back to the dust of the earth. But the soul, that's the real part of you, is going to live on forever. The Bible talks about two resurrections. The resurrection of life and the resurrection of damnation. If you know Christ today and you have put your hope in his name and you believe in the resurrection of Christ, you believe that he died for you, that he was buried, and that 3 days later he rose again, and you have transferred yourself from yourself to Christ, I want you to know that you're going to experience the resurrection of life. The moment that you take your last breath here on this earth, you're going to take your first breath up there in heaven. Paul put it this way, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Just last night, I was at a funeral of a young man who passed away. Thankfully, he knew Christ. He had put his faith in Jesus Christ. He testified at a local Baptist church down in Currituck County, and he knew for sure that he was going to go to heaven when he died because he put his faith and confidence in Jesus Christ. Well, the Bible also talks about a resurrection of damnation. That's for those who don't know Christ, those who reject the name of Christ, those who reject the resurrection of Christ. They are going to experience what is called the resurrection of damnation. When they take their last breath here on this earth, their soul's not going up, it's going down. It's going down to a place called hell. You know, hell was never designed for human occupancy. God created hell for the angels and the devil who are rejecting him and came up against him. And because we as humans have that opportunity to accept or reject the gift of salvation, hell is now prepared for those who reject Christ. Christ doesn't want you to go to hell. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come unto new life. God doesn't want to be separated from you forever. That's why he died for you. Well, the divine factor will also give us hope, not only because of the name of Christ, not only because of the resurrection of Christ, but thirdly, because of the response of Jesus. Now, I want you to listen carefully what is happening in Luke chapter 20. And I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you feel like somebody is trying to trap you in your words. They're trying to set you up to catch you in what you say. Many times we have our enemies that come against us and they're trying to entrap us. Well, Jesus, when he was on this earth, he had some enemies, and those enemies were hoping to catch him in a lie or hoping to trap him in some reason so that they could have a reason to crucify him. We learn this from Luke chapter 20, and keeping close watch on them, beginning at verse 20, they send spies who pretended to be sincere. One of the people that can entrap you the most are those who are really pretending to be sincere, pretending to be genuine followers or genuine lovers of who you are. And they're coming and they hope to catch Jesus in something that he said so that they might hand him over to the power and authority of the governor. So these spies began questioning Jesus, and so they asked him, "Teacher, we know that you are speaking and you are teaching what is right." So they're beginning to butter up Jesus. Like, Jesus can't see through this, right? I mean, it's kind of bizarre what they're doing. They're trying to butter him up, and they say, "Well, we know, Jesus, that you don't show partiality to anybody. You actually teach the way of God according to the truth, and we know that you're a good person, you're a good teacher." And so they give him a question. Here's the question: is it right for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not? So he saw right through this. And Luke makes it really clear that he sees right through this, but Jesus goes ahead and plays along with their game, and he says to them, "Show me a denarius. Whose image is inscribed on it? Bring me out a coin. Whose image is on it?" "Caesar's," they replied. And he said to them, "Then give back to Caesar that which is Caesar, and give back to God what is God's." They were unable to trap him in what he had said there in public, and astonished by his answer. I love this. They became silent. Listen, I want you to know the word of God so that you can have the hope as you respond to people, even those who try to trap you, that they will become silent. And even if they don't become silent, their response will be nonsensical. Their response will be obscure. As you look at responding as Jesus responded in 1 Peter 1:13, we have minds that are alert. We are commanded by Peter to have minds that are fully sober and alert, setting our hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed in his coming. So how do we live our lives as followers of Christ? We take the words of Christ and we put them in sync with our lives. So today we have hope in the resurrection of Christ. We have hope in the name of Christ. We have hope in the response of Christ. And then number four, we have hope in the peace of Christ. Romans chapter 5 tells us that we have been justified through faith. We have the peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace, in which we now stand. And Paul puts this last little phrase at the end of Romans chapter 5, verse number 2. He says, "And we boast, and our boasting is in the hope of the glory of God." So here's what I want us to know. When we have a response, and our response is based on glorifying God, he protects us. If our response is based upon bragging on ourselves, then we are unprotected. Have you ever noticed when you try to brag on yourself what tends to happen? People don't tend to realize just how great you are. I mean, you tell you this great story of something that you've done, and you get this ho-hum response. And so then you got to tell it with more exuberance and maybe stretch the truth a little more, and they still respond with a ho-hum, whip-de-doo, ding-dong. You think you're so great. But if you brag on Christ, you never have to worry about that response happening. You will lose peace when you brag upon yourself, but you gain peace when you brag upon the Lord. John 14, Jesus says, "I'm going to leave you peace." Jesus says, "I'm going to give you peace to you, and it's not like the world gives you peace. Don't let your heart be troubled. Never let your heart be afraid." Why? Because we have the peace of God taking up residence within us. Number five, as you think about hope, we will find hope and we will be hope-filled when we put our trust in the power of Jesus. In Romans 15, 12, it says, "There is this root of Jesse that will spring up, and the one who will arise will rule over the nations. In him, the Gentiles will put their faith." There is power in Jesus. As he takes up residence within us, we are tapping into his power. As a matter of fact, that is the very same power that Jesus used to be raised up from the dead. It's the power of God. We have that within us if we are followers of Christ. We have the experience of enjoying that power because we are created in God's image and we are filled with his Spirit, and he empowers us and he directs us. In Ephesians chapter 2, and I know most people love Ephesians 2, 8, 9, powerful, powerful passage of scripture talking about the fact that we are saved by the grace of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. And so we drive home the fact that we are saved because of the graciousness of God and the mercy of God. But it doesn't stop there. So many people wrongly think, "Well, I've got my ticket to heaven. I'm just going to coast. I'm going to relax. I'm going to enjoy life. And I'm going to just kick back and take it easy. You know, God has a purpose and a mission and a work for you. In Ephesians 2:10, it says that we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God prepared our salvation. We are predestined to have a relationship with Christ because we are part of God's elect. But part of that predestination and that election is that we're going to follow through with the work that God has prepared for us in advance. And by the way, when God gives us a work to do, He empowers us to do it. Now, let's say I was wanting my boys to go out and cut the lawn in my yard, and I said, hey, guys, will you come over and cut the grass for me? And I want you to come on over and do a good job, make it look good. And they come over, and I says, hey, guys, the lawnmower's in the garage. And I say to them, well, good luck trying to cut the grass, right? The lawnmower has a flat tire. There's no gas in the gas tank. And I said to them, well, good luck trying to cut the grass. And, oh, no, by the way, the blade fell off. Can you imagine how ludicrous that would be for me to tell my boys, go ahead and cut the grass? I would be setting them up for failure. I would not be empowering them to succeed. Some people think God does that to us. Listen, when God empowers us, He makes sure we have fuel in the tank. He makes sure that there's air in our tires. He makes sure that the blade is on and that it's sharp. And He sets us up so that we can succeed, not on our own power, but by the power of Christ Himself. Well, number six, we get to enjoy hope because of the presence of Jesus. Colossians 1:27 tells us that He is in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul put it this way, and he says that we are commanded by God, our Savior in Christ Jesus, our hope. What are we commanded to do? We're commanded to do good works. We're commanded to follow through, realizing that Christ will never leave us or forsake us. He will always be with us. When I preached this at our church, I had a picture of Batman and Spider-Man on the PowerPoint. You know, Batman is rich, and he's a strong man, and he's got a lot of cool gadgets. His superpowers stem from his external possessions. Spider-Man, on the other hand, has just a few accessories, but his superhero power, his power doesn't come from the external resources that he has. His powers are obtained because he was bitten by a radioactive spider. His nature has been changed. Now he has a new power accessible to him because it's within him. Listen, when Christ makes you a new creation, you're more like Spider-Man than Batman. Yeah, we get some accessories, but really the big change is within us. The old has become new. That which is dead has become alive. Paul put it like this, we are new creation in Christ Jesus. When Jesus is in you, you will be able to have that come out through everything that you do. It will come out through the words that you use. It will come out in the actions that you make. It will even come out in the attitude that you have. Well, we have one more point to cover this on this broadcast, and that is we are hopeful because of the provision of Christ. 1 Timothy 5:5. We have an illustration of a widow, and she is in really desperate need. Her husband obviously has died, and he didn't leave anything behind for her, and she cries out to the Lord. And Paul says to Timothy that she put her hope in God, and she continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. I want you to know that we have hope and that we can cry out to the Lord in our times of need. Last week, I was taking my son to school. I was dropping him off, and, you know, I have a little button that I push, and it slides the sliding door open. And as I pushed that button, the door just kind of stopped, and I heard this beep, 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 beep. And so I got out of the car, tried to open the door, and wouldn't you know, that door fell right off the track. Oh, I was so frustrated. Have you ever had the combination of being embarrassed and ticked off at the same time? That's how I felt, embarrassed because here comes this teacher to get him out of the van. I can't get him out of the van. He's got to jump over the front seat, go out the side door, and I'm frustrated and I'm embarrassed, and I didn't know what to do. I finally got him to school, and so I called two people, and both calls went into voicemail. What a discouraging opportunity. I'm over there calling people trying to get some help, and it went into voicemail. And so I decided, well, I'm going to put the door back the best I can. I'm cruising down Interstate 64, and I couldn't get the door closed. If you happen to have seen a blue Honda Odyssey cruising down Interstate 64 with the door open about 5 or 6 inches a few weeks ago, that was me. And as I'm cruising down the road, my phone rang. My good friend Dave said, "Hey, I can help you. I'm sorry I missed your call. I can help you." He got me back, my door back in place. You know, God always takes care of us. He will take care of you this morning. Sometimes he sets people right in the right place at the right time. And I was able to drive home on the way home and get that fixed. And I'm so thankful that God heard my prayer. He knew I didn't know what to do. I'm not a mechanic. I don't know the first thing about fixing cars. But I just cried out to the Lord. I said, "Lord, I'm frustrated. I'm embarrassed. And I need you to help me." And he came through. Our God always does that. He comes through at just the right moment. He's never early. He's never late. He's always right on time. So, Lord, I pray today we will trust your timing and we will trust your purpose in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We'd love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.